Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional. I'm Paul.
And I'm Karen. We know stoma and bowel and bladder issues impact the lives of those that you care for.
We're here to support your educational needs and help you in supporting your patients.
We're talking to fellow healthcare professionals and experts by experience to discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice.
Hi, and welcome back to this Coloplast Professional podcast. I'm really, really pleased today to announce that within Coloplast Professional, there is a new member of the team. And that new member of the team is Hannah Patterson. So hi, Hannah, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Paul. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. So as I've just said, welcome to, you're the newest member of the Coloplast Professional team here in the UK. There's this really quite a specific reason why I thought it'd be really good to talk to you on this podcast is A, to introduce you to all the listeners, and also to let people kind of understand a little bit about you and actually your journey to Coloplast Professional, because I know that you've kind of got a personal investment in the world of stoma care. So can you, if it's okay, can you just give us a little bit of a background about your history of how you actually, you know, got to Coloplast Professional?
Okay, so I suppose we could say my journey started the way back in 2008 when I was initially diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. I was managed quite poorly medically for about 4 years. Then in 2012, it was April, I actually had stoma surgery. I had a subtotal colectomy with an endileostomy, which was then when I first got introduced to Charter and Coloplast products. I then had secondary surgery to form a J-pouch with a loop ileostomy. And eventually it took me to a reversal in late 2013. So I'm coming up to anniversary time now. Eventually, after that, I decided I wanted to take that into a route where I could help others. I became colorectal HCA at my local hospital trust. Eventually, after doing a few more ward-based HCA work. And then again, it got to the stage where I wanted to look a little bit more, delve a little bit deeper, which I suppose is where I've ended up where I am now, looking more from the professional side of things.
It's an amazing story, you know, listening to your journey. And I think I'll tell everybody, you know, all the listeners, that I used to work very closely with Hannah when I was out in the community. It just goes to show the power of healthcare assistance within not just the NHS, but within stoma departments as well. Because I know for a lot of stoma departments, there aren't healthcare assistants within the department, but they are, you know, healthcare assistants within stoma teams are a lot more common than they ever used to be. Because I know when you first started, there weren't that many healthcares in stoma care, were there?
No, not at all. I was quite standalone, and it was almost, people thought, well, why are we needed? What are we doing? It's a nurse job. But more and more over the last couple of years, you can see more and more healthcare assistants popping up, and they're actually taking over more of the stoma care side of things as nurses are being pulled to clinic bases and oncology clinics. The HCAs are becoming more forefront with stoma care patients, and that was something I was becoming very aware of.
And I think, you know, it really is that thing of a lot of the hands-on care, as I said, is being done by healthcare assistants. And I think from my point of view, what I notice is one of the things you have got is you've got that time to spend with patients, isn't it? You know, that one-to-one kind of really kind of embracing that individual, but creating that therapeutic relationship, which is so essential within stoma care, especially during that the adaptive phase, you know, that very, very initial phase of stoma care. And as I say, I know talking to patients, you know, they always sang your praises with it, you know, when I saw them in the community. So I'm not bigging you up too much, but I know that
I said
they did sing your praises. So if it's okay, I'd like to just kind of take you back to your time with a stoma, because I know there are there are stoma nurses out there who are ostomates or have been ostomates, and one of the reasons they are in the stoma world is just like you said, they want to start giving, you know, it's giving something back to the service, and they feel they've got this ability to connect better with patients. Because obviously I don't have a stoma, I've never had a stoma. My experiences of stoma are learned experiences. They're experiences I've taken from talking to ostomates, from courses, from textbooks, from journals. So that's where my kind of knowledge comes from. And what I'd like to think, like to talk to you now about, if it's okay, is because we talk a lot about leakage. We talk a lot about the burden of leakage. And leakage is the number one fear for ostomates. You know, in all of the research, leakage is the number one fear. And obviously, the next one is leakage leads to sore skin. And we talk about this leakage cycle. So, you know, if you're leaking, you like to get sore skin. The more sore skin you get, the higher the chance of leakage. And you just get into this vicious leakage cycle. And leakage is really quite prevalent at the moment, the discussion of leakage and obviously skin and skin issues. So from your experience, did you experience leaks? Did you, you know, what was that were? I don't want to kind of load you up with a question or feed you in a direction, but what was your experience with leaks, both physically and kind of emotionally, psychologically?
Certainly leakages were something that I was very concerned about. I was quite young at the time. I was mid-20s, so very body conscious, I would say, at that point, like any woman that age. I was still going on nights out with friends, things like that, and constantly dodging off to the toilet, paranoid that something was happening, wouldn't wear certain clothes because I was worried something would happen. Equally, I was quite active hobby-wise as well. I did swimming, but my main hobby was always horse riding. I never particularly did as I was told horse riding, so taking it easy was not something I was particularly good at. So I did end up putting myself on the floor on several occasions. And the first thing I'd always do whilst lying on the floor would be do the stoma check, which was the tummy tap, lifting up the waistband, having a peer down, all clear, right, let's get back on board. Having said that, I did find a lot of confidence was given to me by using Convexity, and I used that alongside a belt as well. So to give me that little bit more security, because I never kept still, bit the same now. I'm a bit like a whirlwind, don't keep still very easily. I always remember another event that I had that, again, I was worried about leakage, was I was actually bridesmaid at my best friend's wedding during the occasion when I had my stoma. I was paranoid, not just about leakages, but also noises as well, because I was doing a reading during the service and I had a microphone clipped to my dress. Microphone was obviously not within too much of a far distance of the stoma. I remember I must have put about four pairs of high-waisted pants on that day to try and act like a muffler, because this was before there was, it was 10 years ago now, there wasn't so much of the support belts around, things like that then. So there wasn't those that I could use to help me out then either. So it was a case of four pairs of very high-waisted pants to try and muffle it, dodging off to the toilet every 5 minutes to make sure these pants weren't causing me any leakage-based issues. And then when it got to the evening, I could start to remove some pairs of pants and be a little bit freer underneath the dress. But yeah, I remember experiencing lots of issues regarding discretion, leakages, certainly. But equally, I never stopped what I was doing. Once I found the right method, there was often madness within the method, I'd say four pairs of pants. It certainly did work for me, and I was able to lead a very normal life with a stoma.
So out of, you know, you kind of said, you know, you spoke about, you know, going out with your friends, you know, the wedding and all those sorts of things. In a 24-hour period, out of 24 hours, how many of those times would leakages be in your head, or the fear of leakage be in your head? Obviously, I'm guessing that it kind of changed over time, but.
Yeah, for early days, I would say it was almost on my mind day and night. I had, like a lot of ostomates had, I had nighttime experiences, shall we say. I found that certain foods were not a good idea to eat just before bedtime. Mushrooms, I still think I'm slightly mushroom phobic now after some experiences. But as time went on and I got confidence within the products I was using and the routine that I got, it became less. The only time things would become more on my forefront of my mind was when I was doing things that I knew could make me more susceptible to leakage, or times when I knew that leakage really would be incredibly inconvenient if it happened at that moment. And that would be more when it would be at the back of my mind there. But most of the time, for the last, I'd say the latter 6 months of having my stoma, I was able to get through pretty much day to day without it being a concern of mine so much.
Okay. It's really interesting, you know, as I say, because again, you know, we talk about change over time. And so it sounds like you adapted really well to life with the stoma. I know you quite well. So, you know, and I know that you are a very positive individual. And I think it's coming across now that you're a very positive individual. You know, you've got this kind of never give up kind of attitude, which, you know, I think is absolutely amazing. Like, you know, we can see you, we can hear your passion. But one of the other things I'd kind of like to talk about is, because obviously there have been ups and downs for you, like you've mentioned, and those episodes of fear. When you were in the preoperative stage, so before you actually had your stoma formed, was it an arranged stoma, or was it an emergency?
It was a sort of, I suppose, an arranged emergency is probably the best way of putting it. It was within, so it wasn't, I wasn't rushed in and operated on, but it was within 2 weeks the decision was made. So.
And were you actually able to speak to a stoma nurse before your surgery? Did you have some kind of stoma counselling before? If you did, how was it? What, you know, do you think that all the appropriate things were covered?
I'll admit, I didn't actually see a stoma nurse prior to my surgery. I was quite, I don't know if lucky is even the right word. I'd actually got a friend who had a stoma about 12 months beforehand. She actually had her reversal done 3 months before I had my stoma surgery done. So literally the 2 weeks before surgery, bless her, I think she was around my house virtually every day talking to me about it. But again, from my point of view, I was speaking to somebody that had genuinely been there. She was the same age as me. She'd had her surgery done for the same reason as me. And not to belittle anything else, but I'd rather have spoken to her about things, because I could be quite open with her about what my fears were. She knew I was very, very active, and she was able to give me that confidence to ultimately go out there and live my life the way I did with the stoma, because I'd seen her do it for the 12 months that she'd had hers.
And I think that's a really good point, because I know at Coloplast we have the Coloplast ambassadors, which really do enable us to get that insight of experts by experience, you know, individuals who've had the lived experience of actually having or have a stoma. And I've been really privileged to become quite good friends with a lot of them. And there's three that always kind of jump into my mind when I'm talking about the ambassadors and experts by experience. And that is Rachel, and she is on all of the social media platforms, and some of the links for her social media will be in the podcast description. So you've got that's Rachel, and she's rocking two stomas, so she's got an ileostomy and a urostomy. You've got Steve Cartmell. He's when we talk about change over time, Steve is an amazing advocate, because I said he started off on a flat, he's used concave, he's used convexity. And he really is kind of a champion of monitoring stomas, monitoring, you know, an individual, an osteopath, you know, taking this proactive role in monitoring the shape of their abdomen, their body profile, keeping an eye on their body profile, and making sure that the most appropriate base plate is actually used. So they're just two. And then obviously you've got Kev Baker, who you might have seen him on the Bravo Protective Seals adverts. And, you know, again, he is a really, really big advocate of activity. I know that he plays cricket and he's, you know, he's absolutely amazing. And again, similar to you, Hannah, I think in respect of at some point I had to say, Kev, slow down. Stop doing that. It's when he sent me a photo of him in goal. And it was just like, Kev, you really shouldn't be doing that this close post-op. But he just embraced life. He didn't see the stoma as a negative. And as I said, we have become really quite good friends now as well. So I think it really is important getting that side of the story. And I think that's one of the big things and the most powerful things that you're going to be able to add to Coloplast Professional, in the respect of you can be able to, you know, transfer some of those lived experiences to individuals. And, you know, you've got that personal kind of understanding of things like the fear of leakage and that sort of thing. As you know, we do love a top tip. So from a ostomate talking to a healthcare professional, what would you say your top tips are for talking to somebody during the preoperative period and then also during that immediate post-operative period? In your opinion, what do you reckon that those top tips would be for that communication with a new-to-be ostomate and then a new ostomate?
Pre-surgery, I would definitely tell people what you enjoy doing. And that will then, I say the biggest thing for me was I was so active, outgoing. And initially your thought is that you cannot be any of those things anymore. And the minute you talk to somebody about it, you realize that actually you can, you may have to make a couple of little tweaks along the way, but really you can live your life exactly as you were beforehand. And then I suppose after surgery, it's realizing that if you are having problems, that's not the end of the road. There's always other options. I did make sure I started off with a flat pouch. I then, because I lost a lot of weight because I had nutritional-based issues, I was having lots of leaks at that point, which is when I moved to the convexity. I didn't realise initially that there was an option to move to products. It wasn't until I went to see my stoma nurses in floods of tears because I've been having all these leakages. They put me on a convex pouch. I was like, oh, well, why didn't I go weeks ago and do this? But I think it's just creating that importance that there is always somebody there to talk to. Use your stoma nurses. If you've got any questions, problems, queries, give them a call and you'll be surprised that sometimes it's the simplest little thing they'll tell you to do and it can make the biggest difference.
That's brilliant. I think, you know, that is a message that whenever I talk to patients, especially, you know, during pre-op, post-op, even, you know, 3, 4, 5 years later, it's, you do not have to suffer. You know, leakages and stomas do not go hand in hand. One does not instantly mean you're going to, you know, having a stoma does not instantly mean that you're going to have leaks. And I think that is, you know, that is a real powerful message. So thank you for that one. You know, it's that, just that confirmation that as stoma nurses, as healthcare professionals, we do play a major role in these individuals' lives. And we become really close to the people that we look after. I'm sure, you know, you became close to your stoma nurse. And I know I've become really close to a lot of the ostomates that I've cared for in the past. It's, you know their birthdays, you know what's going on with their kids, you know what's going on, you know, in their dog's birthdays, you know, all of this really, really kind of personal thing. And I think it's that building of that therapeutic relationship that is so essential.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was lucky enough to work with my stoma nurse for the last 4 years. She was actually my work mother. She was more than just my work colleague. She was my work mummy. And she actually retired a couple of months before I left as well. So I did miss her for those couple of months. It felt like I was missing part of me within my job. And yeah, you do create that really, really close bond. And again, I've created close bonds with patients over the years, and you see their journey and you get a little bit protective over them as well.
Oh, you do definitely get protective. So as I said, Hannah, you are the newest member to the Coloplast Professional team. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board. I know that your insights are going to be an absolute amazing resource for people, your lived experiences. You are an expert by experience as well as a practitioner. So thank you so much. Thank you for your time today. The link to the ambassadors like Rachel and also the Coloplast Professional website will be in the podcast description. That's coloplastprofessional.co.uk. There are loads of links and resources available on the Coloplast Professional website. So on behalf of myself, Paul, and on behalf of Hannah, the newest member to Coloplast Professional, thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is brought to you by Coloplast Professional. To learn more, visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk.